You're listening to the audio program Host and Guest, hosted by me, Rick Katchke. Now here's myself, Rick Katchke. Yes, welcome to this edition of Host and Guest. I'm your host, Rick Katchke, and on this edition of the program, I'll be joined by John Hartman. We'll have that interview in just a moment. I was recently reviewed, along with my friend Lee Rowley, in the Shepherd Express, a local publication, and comparisons of my appearance were made to Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick's character in the 1986 film Ferris Bueller's Day Off. This was one of my favorite films growing up, and it actually was the first movie I ever saw at a midnight showing, a midnight screening at the Times Cinema here in Milwaukee. Actually, it's in Wauwatosa, a suburb of Milwaukee. And the Times Cinema was basically the coolest place for me in high school and in college. It was this local theater run by a mother and her son, and they had all sorts of independent, foreign, classic films. And then every Friday, they did midnight movies. And some of them were terrible, and others were fantastic to see in a movie theater, like seeing Pee-wee's Big Adventure on a 35mm print. Really remarkable. But the first film I saw was Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and I was 16 or 17, and I went there, and people were yelling at the movie throughout it, and it was just like a shocking experience to me. So I was kind of hesitant, a little nervous to pipe up, because I wanted to be funny. I was into Mystery Science Theater 3000, so I thought that I had the chops to point out things or, you know, just be the funny guy in the movie theaters. But I bided my time. And the opportunity that I seized was in the scene where Ferris Bueller's sister, Jeannie, is at home. And she opens the door and there's a naughty nurse and she sings the song, "I heard that you were feeling," you know. And I decided to point out that one of the two people with the nurse in that scene standing behind her is the comedian Louis Anderson. So from the back of the theater, I pipe up, "That's Louis Anderson!" And nobody really responds. Because why would you respond if someone pointed out Louis Anderson? But I thought maybe these people don't believe me. So then I yelled, "No, really, it's Louis Anderson!" And still didn't get a response, so I decided to stay quiet for the rest of the feature. We'll be back with John Hartman in just a moment. Hi, this is Rick Katchke of Host and Guest. Typically during this portion of the program, you hear palate-cleansing music which prepares you for the interview. However, Host and Guest is in dire need of your help. This show is completely funded by me, Rick Katchke. And considering that I'm currently jobless, I need your support. No, I'm not asking for a cash donation. Not only do I not have any donation gifts such as a tote bag or sun visor, but I wouldn't trust myself with your money. Instead, I'm asking that you take a few minutes and write a review for Host and Guest on iTunes. It seems like a small gesture, but it means a great deal in terms of creating awareness for the program. And please don't pull the classic, "Oh, other people will write a review. I don't really need to do this." No, I specifically need you, listener, to help me out and write a review on iTunes. This is all I ask for. Now, more than ever, Host and Guest needs your words to keep it relevant in the podcasting battlefield. And now, more than ever, we need that palate-cleansing music. My guest on today's program is the rising Chicago performer John Hartman. He's currently finishing the run of his one-man show, Your Friends and Enemies, at the Annoyance Theater. I spoke to him after a performance of Your Friends and Enemies. All right, welcome to this edition of Host and Guest. Today I'm joined by John Hartman. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Now, John, you are just finishing up your run of Your Friends and Enemies. Tell us about how this one-man show came to be.
Well, I started kind of writing it. This is the first solo show I've done. I started writing it last summer. I had a really bad knee injury, and I tore my ACL and my meniscus, and I actually was out for a long time. I was laid up in my apartment on crutches, And I just started writing down some of these ideas because I didn't really have anything else to do. I'd been performing in Chicago, but I couldn't really do that when I was laid up. So I started writing down some ideas. I didn't know what I would do with them, just had some ideas. And then I looked at solo sketches a little bit more, like some other solo performers around town.
Sure.
And then around December, I think, I talked to my friend Bill Bungaroth, who's my director on this. I knew him, and I was telling him about this, and I asked him if he'd be interested in directing. He said yes, and he'd never directed a solo show before. He directs for the Second City Touring Company mm-hmm. and assistant directed their main stage show. And so we started working on this without a venue, just what stuff we thought was funny. And then we started pitching it around. And Annoyance was my first choice, but I was pretty sure we weren't going to get it. And I pitched to the Skybox Second City, and they said no. They turned it down. I was like, well, we didn't get Skybox. I'm certainly not going to get anything else. I was pretty sure that was the end of it right there. I was like, we'll rent out some space for one night and mm-hmm. make no money and lose a lot of money on it. And then Annoyance said yes. They'd seen me in a show before. And then I think that Billy's name really helped out too. And I give the Annoyance a lot of credit for taking a lot of risks. And they do, I think out of any theater, they really do that the most. And yeah, that's how I got the show.
Now, how did you first get involved with the Annoyance Theater? I saw you before in White Jazz. Could you answer how you started with that too?
Yeah. Annoyance, I guess I first got involved by doing classes there. And then I got cast in a show from a class with Rebecca Sohn. And we did one of the triple features they do here on Wednesday, which sure. is a short original play. So I wrote a play with some other folks, and we put that up, and they liked it a lot. And we got to do that again. They ran that on Thursday nights as well, that play we did called Photo Booth. And so that was where I think I first got involved with it. And then White Jazz was another show we proposed. And based on them knowing the people involved with it, and Tim Baltzigan, who's our director, who's a well-known guy here and a great director, really helped as well. So then I got that White Jazz, and then this kind of was just a really nice thing, I think, because they knew me at that point.
Sure. Now, in White Jazz, you played Denny Bender, and you played yeah. the trumpet. Now, I read that you actually have your college degree in music?
That's
in,
right, in trumpet. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I have a degree in trumpet and film, so... But not yeah, I did perform in college.
And films about trumpets.
Films about trumpets, and trumpet music about film.
Excellent. Yeah. When did you start playing the trumpet, and have you integrated that into your improv or sketch performance often?
I haven't really. No, I don't know why I haven't. I started playing in fifth grade when I was a kid, and did that in elementary school, and did all through high school. And I think it was kind of assumed I would just go to school for music. I was just really involved with it. But I always had the intention of doing something else in college, too, and had a double degree with something undeclared mm-hmm. and music. It was just, like, nothing, but nothing in music. And then I love film. I'd always loved film, and I declared that. But I was also doing a lot of improv in college at the time and really got involved with that there as well. So then began doing a lot of improv and theater as a result of that. And I have not really combined them before. I thought it would be fun to do, but I didn't want it to be gimmicky either.
Sure.
Of like this trying to force together two things that like, you want to see me do both of them now or something.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you went to the University of Michigan and it seems like you spent a number of years in Michigan. When did you come to Chicago and what went into making the decision to move here?
I moved here about a year and a half ago. So I'm still kind of new to the city. So I moved last January, 2008. And I always knew that I was going to move to Chicago pretty soon after I graduated. I knew probably about my junior year, senior year, I was like, I'm going to go to Chicago. I really want to do improv. And I stuck around in Michigan a little while because I was really involved with their improv scene and their theater scene in the Ann Arbor area and then the Detroit area. And I think that they have a great scene there, and I was really lucky to be involved with it. Some things over at Second City Detroit there, and this club called the Improv Inferno okay. in Ann Arbor. And but then I knew that at some point I would want to go to Chicago too.
Absolutely. Now, right now at the I.O., you're doing a show called Queerdo. What can you tell us about that series that you're currently running there?
That is a show that IO is running for June, which is Gay Pride Month. And it is a kind of showcase for a lot of lesbian and gay improv sketch groups, some cabaret, burlesque kind of shows too. And then me and two other guys are in this group that headlines or closes each evening called 123 Fag. And that is the group that we kind of put it together, although this guy Seth Dodson really spearheaded that. So we're going to do that. We've had two so far, and it's gone well. I think it's a cool way to get different kind of people into that theater.
Sure. Have you discovered that there's sort of this gay improv scene that you didn't know about prior to coming here?
I didn't know about it, but it also doesn't really exist. you could count them on like two hands how many
sure.
are in the scene, really. And like I knew we'd met most of them, but there's very, very rare opportunities to perform together. So we kind of took this as a way to do that. Like the first week, one of the groups we had was called the Gerald, which was Harold's gay brother. for people that don't know, the Harold is an improv long form mm-hmm. that they do at IO. So it was all of IO's performers on one gay performers on one team, and you look at the people up there, and it was like an all-star group. But they never get to play together just as one huge group of only gay people. So that sure. was really cool. So that there's that community that exists, but they just, you know, it's usually just one here and one there on a team or in a show. So it was just everybody all together.
Sure. Now, you also perform in Good Liars here at The Annoyance. I believe it's a four-person group. What can you tell me about that group?
That's Mark Sutton is kind of the ringleader of that. I met him a couple of years ago, actually, first in Michigan, I think. He came up there and did some stuff. And then I did classes with him also at Annoyance, and he asked me to do the show with this guy Tim McKendrick and Kate Duffy and himself. And Mark has been one of my favorite performers for a long time. He doesn't perform that much improv in Chicago right now, so it was a really cool opportunity.
Sure. Now, where have you trained throughout your improv history?
I've trained IO and Annoyance here in Chicago. I did the beginning program of Second City here, and I did some other Second City in Detroit, a graduate program they had there. And I've trained at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York also. I did like one of their intensives one summer while I was in college.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was great. That was my first long form experience, really. I'd never really seen it. Kind of on a whim, I just guessed and took a summer up in New York for a couple weeks, and it was awesome. That I think everyone who does improv has one of their aha moments when seeing, especially if you've done short form and you've never seen long form. I was just there on one of their Herald nights, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That was my aha moment.
Now you're finishing up your run of your one man show. What's next for you after this concludes?
Well, I've got other things I'm doing right now. I am doing a show at the Skybox at Second City with a cast. It's like a sketch show.
They accepted that one because there are more people.
Yeah, a few more people made it just okay. No, that was there's a this director Tom Blanford over there who's a great director. So we're gonna do a show over there in the Skybox, and then Bill Bungerath and I are actually looking for another project to do together. We really had fun working on this, so. We're going to probably do a film project next. We kind of just are looking for things that interest us. This one-man thing was really interesting at the time, and now film seems something like that might be fun. And then I play weekly with Baby Wants Candy at the Apollo Theater. That's an improv music show.
Sure. Now, every week on the show, we always ask for some recommendations. So first of all, an album recommendation.
Well, there an album I've been listening to a lot, and actually I used a song for it in my show, is Tom Waits' album, Alice. I recently really listened to a lot of Tom Waits, and I think Alice is a really great album. It's really beautiful, kind of sad, but man, that one album just kills me.
Sure.
So Alice, yeah, is a great album by Tom Waits. If you have to start somewhere, if you've never listened to Tom Waits...
Start with Alice.
Start with Alice or Blood Money. They came out at the same time, actually.
Right, that was, it was like, what, 2002, 2003?
Yeah, around. That sounds about right. they were, I think they're both like soundtracks for off-Broadway shows or something. So I haven't seen those shows, but...
but you've heard the music.
The music is so good, yeah.
And a film recommendation then.
I love film. One I saw recently was on DVD. Is that okay?
That's perfectly acceptable.
Okay. I saw Let the Right One In recently, and I loved it. It is a Swedish vampire movie. It came out last year, around the same time Twilight was coming out. It was kind of like the other vampire movie that came out last year. And it's really, it's quite dark, but also very sweet, like a very sweet little story between these kids. And one of them happens to be a vampire. But I would say it works as a horror movie, too.
Sure. And since you know the scene pretty well, an improv show that you would recommend to the people. You can recommend multiple shows.
There's so many great ones here, yeah. Well, you know what I was thinking of, and especially because I did a solo show, but someone who I really look up to, who's doing a show right now at IO, is Pat O'Brien. And there's a show he's doing called the POB show there, which is Sunday nights tonight at 10:30. He plays with Children of a Lesser God, goes first, and then he performs. And he did a show back at Second City on their ETC stage called Shatter. And that show, probably more than any show I've ever seen on stage, influenced me the most. That was the most killer thing. And Pat's got one of the most inventive, subversive, and just incredibly hilarious minds, like some twisted stuff, and he really pushes like what is acceptable for an audience to even handle, and I really respect him. And he's trying out new sketches every week at this POB show, and it's solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he has weekly guests and music, and it is killer. So the POB show is great as for an improv show.
And that's actually where I'm heading right after this.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Oh, you're going to love it. Have you seen his stuff?
I've never seen it before.
Yeah. Pat's on main stage now at Second City, and he's like their little subversive weapon, I think, right now, because he's got this mind. Yeah, well, you'll love it. So Pat's great. What else is a good show running right now? Another one at I.O. that I really love is Cook County Social Club, and they play on Tuesday nights there. And those guys are, Greg Hess, Bill Cochran, Brennan Jennings, and Mark Ratterman. And that's one of the best improv groups you'll see there, or anywhere really. So they're a killer.
Excellent. Well, John, thanks so much for being on Host and Guest.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks again to John Hartman for appearing on the show. If you do have the chance to see him in Chicago, I highly recommend that you do so. He's really a phenomenal talent. And you're going to hear a lot more about him in the years to come. Some Host and Guest news. Host and Guest alum Chris Hardwick is now hosting a show on the G4 program. It's a spinoff of The Soup called Web Soup. Quite enjoyable, and it's good to see Chris Hardwick doing his thing. Also, CLLCT no longer exists, so the best way to check out Tiny Folk is to go to Last.fm. Last.fm is, I believe, the website, and just search for him, Tiny Folk. Other Host and Guest news, a new podcast called the Robot Breakdancing Union Anthology exists. We had a preview of it a few months ago, and now it's up full-time, a new show every week that's produced by me. Also, my old show, The Internet's Maximum Potential, is back with new episodes, so Drew Steck and I are back doing our thing. That's all for this edition, the 28th episode of Host and Guest, and here's the aforementioned Tiny Folk to take us home. Thanks for listening, and thank you for your support. Catch, keep, and 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 catch, keep
Dash.